In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit may be truly wise, and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady Guadalupe,
pray for us.
St. Joseph,
pray for us.
Paul and Terry,
pray for us.
All God's angels and saints,
pray for us.
So reading from the letter of James. The fervent prayer of a righteous person is very powerful. Elijah was a human being like us, yet he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain upon the land. Then he prayed again, and the sky gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. The word of the Lord. Good evening. Okay, that's taken from St. James chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. St. James chapter 5, 17 and 18. You'll see how it's related to our topic today, that verse. I really love St. James. I think we all have our favorites, but it's one of my favorite letters in the New Testament. And it's for us. All of us, I hope, want to pray with fervor. Do you?
Yes.
I hope that we really want to pray with fervor. I do. You know, whether I do or not, I mean, only God knows. No? But I really hope and pray for you. I'm going to pray for you tonight. If you really want to pray with fervor, pray for me too, okay? Because we do our holy hour. I mean, you do the holy hour in the morning, and it can become routine, it can be difficult, you can be struggling with it, it can even be boring at times. Sorry that I say that, but I mean, this is true. I've read books on prayer, and you know, you go through this period where it's kind of, we used to say in the 60s, kind of a drag, no? But I think one of the most important prayers would be, Lord, help me to be fervent in prayer. And if we are fervent in prayer, and it really means at least we're trying, then a lot can happen. If we're really fervent in prayer, God could decide tomorrow that he wants rain to descend in buckets upon Southern California, or just on this area. I mean, he could decide upon that. But if you're really fervent in prayer, you could change God's mind. I mean, that's incredible. I want to meditate upon that more and more, how we can change God's mind. Change God's mind. Do you believe it?
Yes.
We can change God's mind. But we've got to be fervent. The opposite of fervor is lukewarmness. You know what the Bible says about that, Revelation chapter 3. What does the Bible say about that? Yeah, well, vomit you, spit you out of my mouth. I mean, that's pretty strong language. You think the Blessed Mother was fervent? Always or sometimes?
Always.
We want, we've got consecration, Mary. We want to bring people to have fervor in their prayer. Right, Elvira? Fervor. We had an experience last night in L.A., Parish of St. Thomas. There's just almost too many people showing up, but there was a lot of fervor there. John celebrating with two priests, celebrating his anniversary 10 years after I celebrated mine. No? We want to start fires. And St. Vincent Ferrer says, from a cold heart, fiery darts will not shoot out of the mouth. St. Vincent Ferrer, a famous Dominican fiery preacher of the 15th century. So that's the message from the Word of God today. And you're going to see how this is related to the number we're going to read. Oh, maybe we'll read more than one number. The one number we're going to read is a little bit long. Let's see how far we get. Ready? Okay, today is a short number I'll go through relatively quickly, and then I want to go through another number in greater detail. We arrive at number 63. Father Sopako, just so you're aware, Father Sopako was the spiritual director of St. Faustina. She had, if you read the whole diary, she's going to be basically being directed by two priests. Father Andras, S.J., who's a Jesuit, but her formal spiritual director is a diocesan priest, who's a professor at the seminary, who, by the way, he's already blessed now. This is Thomas Sopoko. Your Father Sopoko must be well loved by God. I think all you people are well loved by God. Amen?
Amen?
Yesterday in the talk I gave to these many people, I kind of test the waters when I'm preaching them. But I think what gave the most inspiration was I told the people that the Blessed Mother loves them very much. Right, Avira? See, almost like tears welling up in their eyes. You know? I think for most of them, they never heard that before. Maybe they read it. But hearing a priest tell them, you know, I really believe that you're loved by God. I mean, you can see the people. First they were shocked that they heard that. You could almost see them. They're about to weep, no? And that was almost when I was saying it, no? And they told them, if you put all the love of all the mothers of all times together, the love that Mary has for you is much greater. Amen? But you have to recognize that God loves you very much. Any of you go to the 6:15 Mass? Did you listen to the homily of the priest? Who was preaching? Oh, I was, okay. What was my message? What's that? You were dozing off when I was preaching, huh? What's that? On the example, but following the example of who? Okay. Do you like that message?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's the message is he wanted to love God more and more. So that can be our prayer as we're going through this. He says, this priest is well loved by God. Now listen. Have any of you people ever had any crosses? Well, often that's a manifestation of God's love for you. You didn't want to hear that, did you? But it's true. We don't want to hear that, but God sends you crosses. It's a sign of His love for you. He wants you to collaborate with Him in the salvation of souls. As Paul says, we fill up what is lacking, the passion of Christ. In the life of Saint Francis of Assisi and Saint Louis de Montfort, they both went through a day in which they didn't experience a cross. They felt that God had abandoned them. Saint Louis de Montfort and Saint Francis. So much that Saint Louis de Montfort said, "What a cross it is not to have a cross." And Saint Louis de Montfort to his friends would say, "May God bless you and give you many little crosses." I did not see any of you making the sign of the cross. Because you didn't like the hand that was blessing you, huh? I say this because I myself have experienced how much God defends him at certain moments. Let me tell you this. It's going to happen to you sooner or later. Sooner or later, someone is going to attack you, I would say, verbally. Has it ever happened in your life yet? I remember a few years ago, there was this woman after catechism, really angry, and she was just venting in front of me. And I just stood there, I listened to her, and I kind of nodded my head, and then I didn't say anything. After that, she just calmed down, is very much at peace. Sometimes that's the best thing to do. It's just to suffer in silence, absorb the pain of the other person, pray for that person, and if the person has any spirituality, will often come back later and apologize for having, if the person has a spiritual life. So it depends on the situation. Sometimes God wants us to defend ourselves like Paul did often in front of these powerful magistrates. Or Saint Stephen, he defended himself very eloquently. Or Saint John of Arc, you've heard of Saint John of Arc, right? All of you have read Mark Twain's Joan of Arc, right? Did you know that Mark Twain is one of the greatest American writers, no? Samuel Clemens would be his real name. His greatest spiritual masterpiece was Joan of Arc. Saint Joan of Arc. He wasn't even a believer. But he admired her so much. She was put on trial and they tried to trick her up. He asked her this question, "Are you in the state of grace?" And after you, "Are you in the state of grace?" We can only say we hope we are, right? She said, "If I am, thanks be to God. If I'm not, may God place me there." No theologian could have expressed him or herself better than that. Are you people in the state of grace? You should say the same thing. I hope I am. If not, may God place me there. You know, the Council of Trent says, well, none of us have a moral certitude that we are, but we, if we go to communion, we think that we are, that we haven't committed mortal sin. But we can lie to ourselves. We can lie to ourselves. It's easy to do that. Okay. 64. The trip to Calvary. Spanish, La Calavera, the place of the skull. Do you have a Calvary in your life? Will you have a Calvary in your life? Hello?
Yes.
Yes, we will. We should all pray that when we have our Calvary, that the Blessed Virgin Mary is walking with us side by side. I don't want to go to Calvary alone, do you?
No.
Just the thought of that scares the living daylights out of me. But if, like in the film of Mel Gibson, we have Mary walking side by side. Remember when he fell down and he looked into the eyes of Mary, one of his falls? What happened? It's almost like the spiritual energy went out of the eyes of Mary, and then he lifted up and he was able to walk all the way to the top of the hill. So in our own Calvary, we want to invite Mary to accompany us, not to be alone. It says, when I came to Vilnius, that's the place where the first image of the Divine Mercy will be placed in Vilnius. For 2 months to replace his sister who had gone for her third probation, Sister Peter, who worked in the kitchen. How could a nun have a name, a masculine name, Sister Peter? I think it's a good question, huh? Yeah, I mean, in religious life, I mean, it's not uncommon for a woman to choose a patron saint that's masculine. Not that she has an identity crisis, no? But if there's a saint that we should want to help us, it's St. Peter. Now, I've never told you this, but if you've read the life of St. Ignatius, after Pamplona, he was about to die, and St. Peter appeared to him, and then his health was improved. After the appearance of St. Peter, who was the first pope, and they will have four vows. What's the fourth vow? Obedience to Peter, who's the first pope. Nothing happens by chance. Okay, who worked in the kitchen? Are nuns supposed to work in the kitchen? Isn't that demeaning? Okay, there's a lot in that. You can be sanctified by working in the kitchen. What does that mean? By doing. Have some others here? By doing ordinary things, but with extraordinary love. Amen? I know a woman who had 9 children and she spent half of her life in the kitchen. Her name is Mrs. Broom. You're happy to be there. I mean, you're preparing dinner for these teenage boys that could probably eat the table with the food, no? Hey, you know, you got to be there at 4 o'clock up until 6. I mean, you're really preparing well. Then you got to clean up. Quite a few hours, no? You don't feel that it's demeaning for you to be in the kitchen. One day, the Mother Superior. Who's that? Probably Irene. Irene means peace. Did you know that? Irene, wanting to give me a bit of pleasure, gave me permission to go together with another sister to Calvary to walk the paths, as they say. And have any of you ever been to Poland? A few have. Okay, one of the most famous places is a place called Calvary. You talk with any Polish person, it's one of the most famous places to visit when you're there. So next time you go to Poland, make sure you visit Calvary. Okay? Now obviously you're going to have certain places there, the Way of the Cross, a church, an image of Our Lady of Częstochowa or Jasnogóra. Pretty sure I went there about 10 years ago and I barely remember it, but I'm pretty sure it's on the outskirts of Krakow. The next time you go to Poland, tell me how it is, okay? I was delighted. It's a very interesting number. I was reading it a couple hours ago in my room. So she's happy. Mother Superior has given her permission. Let's look and see what Jesus says now. Although it was not very far, it was Mother Superior's wish that we should go by boat. Go by boat. The apostles went by boat, right? Can you tell me what the bark of Peter symbolizes? The Catholic Church. The bark of Peter is symbolic of the Catholic Church. All of you know the vision of John Bosco, right? The most famous one, the dream? Lupe? It's the most famous. Some of you are formed by the Salesians, right? The ship, you got surrounded by smaller ships attacking, and then you have on the helm, you've got the captain, and you got these two pillars that ascend. Remember that? One is higher than the other. Who's on the lower one? Our Lady Fatima? Okay, Our Lady Help of Christians. Okay. Then on the top, you got the Blessed Sacrament. And the captain directs it in between and chains it and makes it to shore. Symbolism? The bark symbolizes the captain symbolizes, the crewmen symbolize, the surrounding boat symbolize the enemies of our soul. Our salvation will be secure if we look up at who? Mary, who points us to Jesus, and then we arrive at the shore, which is, you like it? I'm going to suggest a pastoral activity for you. Try to find that picture. Maybe you can blow it up. Maybe get it in color. We have a lot of artists here. Michelangelo Da Vinci disguise here. We have a lot. And maybe make 100 copies. Wherever you go, give a rosary, give a rosary pamphlet, and give that. And when the person says, could you explain this? Use Father Broom's class tonight. Okay? That's probably one of the best catechetical, artistic depictions to explain the church. Amen? And even a child can understand it. So John Bosco is considered one of the greatest teachers in the Catholic Church. Because intellectuals can understand them, but first graders can understand them also. Also, Jesus Christ was the greatest teacher, right? He taught by parables. A little child can understand them, as well as Einstein. A good teacher is able to reach out and make them understood by all. Irrespective of age, culture, class, intellectual formation or the lack of intellectual formation, that's a good teacher. Amen? Okay. Here's a question as we read on. Has it ever happened in your life that you thought something was God's will, but it turned out not to be God's will? I'll repeat that question. Ever happened? You thought something was God's will, but it wasn't. That's where we're heading. Mary Martirana read the life of St. Anthony Mary Claret, right? He was a Jesuit novice. What happened? He got sick. St. Anthony Mary Claret, the Claretians, no? Great. I mean, the founder of them, great. He was with the Jesuits. He got a pain in his leg when he's making the retreat, and the Superior General, who was a saint, said, I don't think you're called to be a Claretian. I'm sorry, you're not called to be a Jesuit. You have another mission. Went on to found the Claretians. God intervened. He changed the course of events. Any of you ever hear of St. Alphonsus? So he founded the Alphonsians, right? And John Bosco founded the Bosconians, right? And St. Francis founded the Dominicans, right? So, you ever read the life of St. Alphonsus? He's in a boat. What happened? There was a storm on the lake. And what happened? He ends up basically shipwrecked on this little, the bluffs of this hill. We had all these shepherds. And he's approaching these shepherds, and he is moved to the depths of his soul. These poor shepherds have no spiritual shepherd. I have to go out and preach to the poorest of the poor. So he founded the Congregation of the Most Holy Redeemer to preach to all, but especially to preach to those who are poor in the knowledge of the faith. He ends up in the Philippines, the Redemptorist, Our Lady of Perpetual Help. That's from St. Alphonsus. So that storm that descended on the lake moved Alphonsus to that shore where he's looking at these poor shepherds, not bad people. They didn't know the difference between their right hand and their left hand. Remember the book of Jonah? The very last verse of Jonah is, people don't know the difference between their left hand and their right hand, and it ends up in all these cattle. Have you ever been shipwrecked or knocked off your horse? Or directed in a certain direction that you would have never imagined? Our God is a God of surprises. Never forget that. Our God is a God of surprises. Thinking as a child, end up in California? I'm a New Yorker. Having to speak another language, I would have never thought of that in a million years. When I was in seventh grade, I was studying really hard French, and I couldn't seem to learn it. And the teachers called my mom and said, you know, your son, he's the hardest worker, but he'll never in his life learn another language, no? Italian, Spanish. Our God is a God of surprises. So we have to be open to surprises in our spiritual life. You ever play baseball? You know what baseball is? Sometimes when you're expecting the fastball, you're going to get a curveball. And sometimes when you're expecting the curveball, you're going to get the slider. Know what that is? It's a curve at the very end. Curveball is like a loop. Or maybe even a sinker. You know what that is? Off the table. Like a waterfall. Boom. Or maybe even a knuckleball. A folly floater. It's a symbol of our life. God can throw a lot of different pitches. We have to know how to hit them. Or if we're behind the plate, at least know how to catch them. Amen?
Amen.
So read on. That evening, Jesus said to me, I want you to stay home. How many parents here? Ever happened that your kids, your teenagers wanted to go out? He said, I want you to stay home. Hi, Tony. Hey, Therese. This is pretty good application, huh? It could be that it happened in your life, you wanted to go out as a teenager or young adult, wanted to go out to a party, and your parents said, you're not going, and you wanted to really fight them, no? And if you were to have gone, what could have happened is there someone there offering you drugs as a teenager, maybe 17 or 18. Or maybe a drink and putting something in your drink and put you asleep. That happens, right? And a rape, that happens. Date rape. But because you said, your mom and dad said no and you obeyed, never happened. I want you to stay home. Good words, huh? Come on, hard words at times. Maybe you people, I want to go out, I want to go to the movie. No, stay and do your holy hour. You haven't done it yet. No, but there's a good movie. Stay and do your holy hour. Ah! You go to the movie, and you think the movie's bad, and it's got a lot of bad scenes. And you come back with your conscience dirtied. Now you heard that interior voice. You heard it. No, Lord, I don't hear you. Stay home. Lord, I don't hear you. Stay home. I don't understand English. Je ne comprends anglais. Mm-hmm. I said in French, I don't understand English. I answered, Jesus, everything is ready for us to leave tomorrow morning. What am I to do now? What I love is this dialogue, this colloquy, this real friendship that Jesus has that Faustina has with Jesus. That's what we're aiming at in perseverance. Hello? We're aiming at to try to have Jesus always present as a best friend. Consult him, talk to him. Sometimes question him like Job, you know, Lord, I don't understand. What she's doing now is, Lord, I'm ready. What do you mean? The superior gave me permission to go. God speaks to the superior. Can you contradict the superior? Lord, I don't understand. Kind of like Job. Let's read some more. The Lord answered, so there's a conversation between Faustina and Jesus. We want to have a conversation with our Lord too. This trip will be harmful to your soul. How many parents here? Come when you're dealing with your children. Some grandparents here? Could this trip be harmful to the soul of my children or grandchildren? This is principle and foundation. I'll give you an example. You're going to be angry at me now. I don't care though. In the end of June, there's a graduation party. It's going to be weekend. And it's going to be in Las Vegas. I believe what Jesus says. I want you to stay home. You know, honestly, I've been in Las Vegas once, but just in the airport going from like New Hampshire, Las Vegas, L.A. But I think it just had in the plane. I don't think we got out of the plane, no? You know, I really don't want to go to Las Vegas. Do you?
No.
Uh-oh, no one said anything, huh?
No.
But people will go there. And often they come back regretting the fact that they went. I mean, I've never been there. You're Sin City, but I imagine walking through the streets, there's just so many temptations. Many bad images, temptations. People immodestly dressed. No, I'm just going to graduation party. It's right there in this hall there. And all my, you know, I'm celebrating my 30th anniversary with a group of my roommates that went to Santo Tomas there in Manila. You know, we're going to meet there. You know? And they're all holy people. You know? I think they're going to be saints one day. You know? And you're going to be there, you're going to be there weekend. You're not going to spend all the time with them. And how easy it is to lie to ourselves. You know in the depths of our heart that there's going to be temptations that are going to be overpowered. Let me tell you a personal anecdote. And think about this. Until I was about the age of Tony and Therese, we're both about the same age, right? Because you're twins, right? Who's older? Therese, you're older. You have to respect your older sister, right, Tony? Right, Therese? Yeah. Until I was about their age, my father would often have to travel. He traveled to New York to Chicago, Detroit, L.A., all over the country, sometimes even outside the country. That was part of his work. But you know, he made a stipulation with his boss that, hey, Roger, Raquel, you're listening? Understand? He would never travel if his wife could not come with him. I remember until I was 16 and a half, until almost I graduated from high school, whenever he traveled, he'd always take Mrs. Broom with him. Why? I mean, as a little kid, I didn't understand that. We had a babysitter. The babysitter was usually pretty good. And then we had to become the babysitter because we're the oldest of the younger ones. No? And often the trip was maybe a day and a half or 2 days. Because a successful businessman traveling by himself, and this was 45 years ago, when he didn't have, you know, the internet, didn't have pornography the way it is today. Now they look back. My dad died 7 months and one day ago yesterday. I think that was wise. Now, don't get angry at me now. I hear couples that are married. The husband will go to Mexico for a month without his wife. Or a man will go to the Philippines here? A man will go to the Philippines for 5 or 6 weeks without his wife. You got room to rent upstairs, as they say. You are crazy. Excuse me, you're crazy. Temptations are going to be overpowering. No, Father, I'm going to go to Mass every day, make 3 holy hours, and I'm going to be reading the Summa Theologica of St. Thomas Aquinas in Latin. I've always wanted to do that. My point is, don't play with fire. Even the best of person exposed to temptation, your kryptonite, you're going to fall. You're going to fall. Hey, you've done the exercise. Do you remember the sin of David? Was David holy? Why did he fall? He was exposed to evil. He had a lot of free time. He should have been with his troops there in the battle, right? He should have been in there, not with Joab, right? Joab's the guy's name. Next to Joab, the general, fighting. He was where he should not have been. He was in the wrong place. He was in the palace. He should have been out in the battlefield. Ask yourself this question. How often have you been in a place where you should not have been? That's the question. You could do a holy hour on that one. How often have you been in a place where you should not have been? And if he didn't fall, it was only God protecting you. Okay, all of us love Saint Therese, your patron. Great saint. Considered one of the greatest modern saints. She said that she was capable of doing the most horrendous, ugly, heinous sins in the whole world. And she said she didn't because God cleared the path. How often I prayed myself, Lord, please clear the path. Don't put obstacles in my path. I'm going to fall. I say that often. I think you should too. You're tempted just the way I am. Lord, clear the path. If you're to put various obstacles from here to the wall, hey, I'm going to fall, and I'll have another broken finger in this hand, huh? Maybe a broken arm, maybe a broken neck. I will. When I was 18 or 19, no, I mean, I was the most agile teenager in New Jersey. I'm an old man now. I stumble and fall. I don't see. My eyes are not as good. I used to have 20/20 vision. Now I don't, not even with the glasses, huh? She said, I did not fall because you cleared the path. Great prayer. Great prayer. Now, last week we celebrated my anniversary. Thank you very much. I wish I could have spent more time, but I didn't say the Mass. Who do we celebrate after May 25th? St. Philip Neri. Who? Okay, St. Philip Neri. know what his prayer was? He said, Lord, when he was a lay person, said, keep your arm on Philip lest he betray you. When he's a priest, he said, Lord, keep both of your arms on Philip lest he betray you. Not a bad prayer. You ever hear that expression? There go I, save the grace of God. That comes from Philip Neri. It's common colloquial English today. What he was saying is, he saw a bum on the street. How do you say bum in Spanish? Bomito? Sin techo, no? Vagabondo, no? They saw a bum on the street, a bomito, okay? So a bum on the street, and he said, there am I, save the grace of God. There am I, save the grace of God. Why are we here now, and we're not in the street? Because of any innate holiness in us? How good God is that He's preserved me and you from so many evils. The other day I said, hey, look at Father Broome. He was fighting the Cholos of Hawaiian Gardens. Cholos, no? So I got this because I was fighting the gang members of Hawaiian Gardens and I lost the fight. Why am I not a New York skinhead? I mean, I could have been. I had the ingredients of being one. Why am I a Catholic priest rather than a New York skinhead? No? Because God cleared the path. He cleared the path. Now listen, think about your life. Maybe you're about to make a wrong decision and something happened that prevented that. You're about to make a bad decision. It's happened to all of us. Something happened where it was blocked. Thank God. And if we made that wrong decision, could be in a cheap, dumpy cantina in L.A. picking up una mujer de la calle. Hey! We could be a drunk or a drug addict or selling drugs. Father, you're offending me? Hey, tough. That's where the cookie crumbles. We could. We could be that person. St. Francis, at the end of life, said, I could still be the father of 1,000 kids. Wow. St. Francis, known to be the greatest saint outside the Bible. We're all capable of doing great things. We're all capable of doing the most sordid, dirty things. And when people are bad-mouthing the Catholic Church, they do. I'm going to tell you what you can say is this. Whatever you say to the Catholic Church is going to be true. The best of the best and the worst of the worst. And I say this. I'm going to name three Catholics. St. John Paul II. St. Francis of Assisi. Name another. St. Faustine, huh? Great saints, huh? Let me name three other Catholics. Adolf Hitler, Joseph Stalin, and Fidel Castro. Do all of you have statues of those three guys in your room? You offer incense to them every night? Do you have holy cards of them that you pass out? Hey, Hitler, what, 5 million? Stalin killed in between 20 and 25 million people. Do you know that? You've heard of Joseph Stalin, right? Castro, 60 years of communism because of one man. He just died, what, two months ago? The brother Raul is still living? One man that basically destroyed a country. Anthony Mary Claret was there about 15 years earlier evangelizing them. So then, you know, the diary, if you have someone interpret it for us, is very, very practical. Very applicable to our lives. Jesus said, this trip will be harmful to your soul. So if you're planning to go to Las Vegas next week, I replied to Jesus, you can find a way out. I'm not docile. I look at you, Lord. I don't know how you're going to do it. We're all planning. Everything is prepared. The superior has given us a blessing. I don't see how it's going to be done, but you can do it. You know, one of my favorite verses in the Annunciation is, nothing is impossible with God. Amen? Nothing is impossible with God. That moment, the bell announced the time for sleep. Here's a question. Do you go to bed on time? Is that pleasing to God? Aha! So you're all going to feel uncomfortable with this talk, huh? I've come to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable, huh? Yeah, a group like you, a group like this, you're probably not sleeping too much, but maybe too little. Are you ever impatient? Ever snap at people? Ever caught a huda? You ever hear that word, caught a huda? A little bit angry, no? You're impatient? Now, would you be that way if you got an extra half hour, 40 minutes of rest? No, Father. I gave a talk 3 hours ago, and I was talking with a group of Hispanics saying, you know, the fifth commandment is you have to watch over your own body, too. So you try to get enough rest. All of you have the best eating habits, I'm sure, right? Raquel? And all of you go to LA Fitness, a gym, 5 times a week, right? You can see all of you with these muscles, huh? Father, you sound like you're talking like a doctor. Well, my doctor, hey, proper rest, proper eating, proper exercise. See, I can pull out almost every phrase here, I can pull out a message for us. Bell announced, if your bell is announced to go to sleep, do you obey that bell? Somebody's saying, I'm not living in a religious community. I don't have a bell that rings, you know? Maybe you should get the bell or your you have a watch that can make noise. Your cell phone. Probably gonna shoot it, huh? I gave Jesus a parting glance and went to my cell phone. Isn't that what it says? She went to her cell phone to check out her messages, huh? Okay. It's not the cell phone, right? It's where, that's the religious terms of the dormitory. Okay? Okay? Not S-E-L-L, but C-E-L-L, right? Not a sellout, huh? Next morning, the weather was beautiful. So she's thinking, well, Jesus is wrong in this case, huh? No, she's not going to doubt. And my companion was filled with joy at the prospect of the great pleasure we would have in getting to see everything at Calvary. No. But as for me, I was sure we would not go, even though there were no obstacles so far. Why was she so sure? Here's the question. Do we trust Jesus?
Yes.
Muscle man, huh? Sometimes we doubt.
Yes.
I mean, this is such a great saint. Oh, what trust she has. This is called holy indifference, right? Now, really, she wanted to go. But if Jesus intervened and said, you're not going to go, well, if Jesus says we're not going to go, I'm happy with that. He's going to prevent it. This is holy indifference. We have to try little by little to arrive at holy indifference. It means what God wants, we should want. Always. Amen?
Amen.
We were to receive Holy Communion earlier and leave right after the Thanksgiving. Okay, if you're traveling on vacation, is it a good idea to receive Holy Communion before you leave? Before you travel, make sure you first go to Mass. If you're traveling on the weekend, make sure you go to Mass. Traveling on Sunday, make sure you go on Saturday evening. That's good for Sunday. But during the time of communion, okay, here's a little comical, no? But during the time of communion, which is the most important moment in the life of Saint Faustina as well as us, we're going to see the power of God, the power of communion. All of a sudden, the weather changed. Remember I read St. James chapter 5? Elijah prayed, what happened? Did the weather change? See the parallel between that and what we're reading? Clouds covered the sky, and the rain came down. Oh, hey, that's pretty good, huh? You hear that? Yeah, that's pretty good. I didn't do that on purpose, but that was providential too, right? I'll do that once again, no? I like that, no? The rain came down in torrents. What's that mean? No, we have a New York expression. We have two things. In New York, we say it's raining cats and dogs, or in buckets. No, Spanish are baldes. No, and we say in New York, cats and dogs. No, gatos y perros. No, they're coming down in torrents. Everyone was astounded at such a sudden change in the weather. God knew, Jesus knew that they were going to go, that some of those nuns were going to be placing their spiritual life in jeopardy, their vows in jeopardy, and Jesus intervened. Even though, they're not going to Las Vegas, were they? They're going to Calvary, which was one of the most holy pilgrimage centers in Poland. So they weren't going to a bad place. But something was going to happen there, or on the way there, that was going to be tempting and displeasing to Jesus. Mother Superior said to me, "I'm sorry, you cannot go, sisters." Oh, wait a minute. Some of the sisters say, well, Mother Superior, we do have in the closet, we do have rain cones, so we also have umbrellas, no? Did they have raincoats back then? How about umbrellas? I think they probably did, right? I answered, "Dear Mother, it doesn't really matter that we cannot go. It was God's will that we stay home." In Ignatian terms, what is that called? Say it. Holy indifference. Holy indifference. God doesn't want me to go? I'll stay at home. I'll do an extra holy hour. I'll make a mini retreat. I'll do some good spiritual reading. I'll go to confession. Amen? However, no one knew that it was Jesus' express desire that I stay home. I spent the whole day in recollection. What does that mean? Spanish is recogimiento. Recollection means in silence so that you can be in the presence of God and be in dialogue with God in the silence of wherever she was. So sometimes it's a good idea when you're at home, turn off the radio, turn off the TV, just be in silence because God wants to speak to your heart. Not to say you can't listen to Radio Guadalupe or El Sembrador or EWTN, nothing wrong with it, but now and then, having a moment of silence, God can speak to your heart. "Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening." We often say, "Listen, O Lord, for your servant is speaking," right? So both are good, right? It's called a dialogue, huh? Spent a whole day in recollection and meditation, thanking the Lord for having kept me home. That day God granted me many what? Heavenly consolations. So I think that, did you like this number? I think the message is very clear. All of us should thank God for the many times He's intervened, preventing us from making wrong choices. And let's pray for the grace to go where God wants us to go, so that we can one day go to heaven and be with Him forever. Amen?
Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now at the hour of death. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you. And Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God bless you. You received a blessing with my holy cast.